Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We're about to have a conversation with Robert McChesney, who will be coming back with us soon to talk about his book. We really want to spend an hour with him talking about this book, Digital Disconnect, How Capitalism is Turning the Internet Against Democracy. And, of course, the new book he co-authored with our friend John Nichols, Dollarocracy, which we'll be talking about in the next week as well. He just joins us here to talk a bit about NSA this morning from the stuff that he has been writing. And Robert McChesney, welcome. Good to have you with us.
My pleasure, Mark.
410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. Tweet us at Mark Steiner if you have to throw in an idea in this conversation. I've been reading Dollarocracy, which I really am enjoying. I'm looking forward to that for the next week. And Digital Disconnect, which I'm in the middle of as well. So you've got me reading two things at once. But I want to talk about this NSA spying with you for a moment. And what you refer to as the military digital complex and what that means.
Well, you know what, I think some people have picked up on this part of the story, but it's been underplayed, unfortunately. This enormous, secretive, and largely unaccountable apparatus we have doing spying and national security intelligence, which has a million people with clearances, is largely in the private sector. I mean, we've outsourced a lot of this. We have a lot of money being made by private firms who have lobbyists and incentive to keep the system going, just for financial reasons, even if there's no national security justification. They have strong incentive to keep the paychecks coming and keep the money flowing. At the top of the list of these companies, unfortunately, are those digital giants, Facebook, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Apple, that have their clouds up there with this immense amount of data on all of us, which is of extraordinary value to the national security state. So it's really a corporate government alliance here that has created enormous bureaucracy that makes it self-sustaining, independent of any sort of public understanding of what the legitimate reasons are.
But so what does that mean for us, though? Why should Americans be concerned about this, and why do you think it's so hidden from the public eye?
Well, I think Americans should be so concerned about it because this country was founded on the notion that the military and national security has to be kept in really a strong hold. You can't allow it to be unchecked. James Madison was obsessed with this issue. In fact, one of his many, almost countless comments, Mark, was that no nation can remain permanently at war and also remain free. That if you have a military establishment, an empire, a sort of a policing apparatus out of the government, it invariably is going to undermine self-government because it leads to concentration, secrecy, propaganda, all the things that Madison saw had destroyed efforts at democracy everywhere in world history up till 1789. And I think his basic concerns remain true. If we have, an enormous amount of our government that's really not only unaccountable to the public, but it's pretty much unaccountable to Congress as far as we can tell, but little is coming out. It really operates entirely on its own. It's basically rubber stamped every year. And this is not something that's compatible with having what we call self-government with our constitutional system. And invariably, and this is the point Madison would make, when you have this type of institutionalized secrecy, invariably the civil liberties we cherish as Americans are challenged and threatened. And that's exactly what's happening now.
I mean, one of the things that struck me in the last several days of reading all these articles around the press and around the country, whether it's the new kind of face technology, facial recognition technology, the Washington Post talked about that most of us don't even know is being used by states, or whether it's how our information is constantly being traded and used on Facebook by Google and everybody else. And then you write about this whole idea. Let me just read this line that comes out of the Institute for Public Accuracy that sent this piece out about the stuff you're writing. When you write that the monopolistic firms have capitalized on the digital revolution, have grown to worldwide historical proportions in 2012. Four of the 10 largest U.S. corporations in terms of market valuation, including the number one and number three, were internet giants Apple, Microsoft, Google, AT&T, et cetera, and IBM, and that's five of the top 10. And when you look at that, I mean, the idea that what we do daily now with our lives, with our phones, with our computers, with every pass we use to get in and out of the building to buy our groceries, is all of this kind of information being traded. But then also the interrelationship, the relationship between these companies and our government, this is where it gets frightening. People say, well, they don't have the technology to really put this into use. But I'm not so sanguine about that.
Well, you know, I conclude one of the chapters in Digital Disconnect by discussing Milton Friedman, the prominent great conservative economist, who's sort of the leader of the sort of notion of neoliberal economics, letting the free market work its magic and getting rid of government programs. And Friedman, on this point, I think, was dead on right. He said the justification for having a capitalist economy and a democracy was that the economic power was separate from political power, so you wouldn't have too much concentrated power like you did under communism or you did under feudalism, where whoever ran the economy also ran the government. They're the same people. And I think what the fear we should have now is that, you know, Friedman said if you don't have that capitalism, you can't really justify it for democracy. The fear we should have now is that our capitalist economy is increasingly concentrating to a very small number of monopolistic hands. And I use the term not pejoratively, but accurately, as economists use it. The dominant digital companies you've just been talking about all have pretty much the same or even exceed the market share in their market that John D. Rockefeller had with Standard Oil in the late 19th century, the Microsofts, Google, Facebooks. And so when you have these companies that are no longer competitive in the marketplace, plus they're no longer really have any sort of genuine antagonistic relationship with the public sector or the state, but they really, in effect, work hand-in-hand with it, oftentimes surreptitiously, this is an institutional structure that is not compatible with self-government by, I think, any calculation in democratic theory.
So what then is our response to this? I mean the kind of when you couple all this with the NSA surveillance and how that also is, as you said, parceled out to private industry in partnership to do this work, I mean, how do we begin to think about both protecting our own individual liberties and what this might be in a Big Brother world that's building in America, but also socially, how you even begin to reform or change that?
Well, I think this is the great $64 million question that, you know, all my work addresses, and I think all of us are concerned with. You know, we see this immense institutional powerhouse that is deeply embedded in our society, has tremendous power, and we see that there's almost very little journalism coverage of this, and certainly very little digging, and it's sporadic. It might come along after Snowden for a few weeks, and then everyone goes back to sleep for a couple of years. And, you know, you say, well, this seems unchangeable, but I tend to be an optimist, and I think that it can be changed, but it will not be changed piecemeal. It will have to be changed as part of a broad movement of social change. And that seems very esoteric or abstract in the United States today, but I think, you know, we are, as a country, like the world, I mean, your previous segment of Turkey that I heard part of gets that. Now, we're in a tumultuous moment worldwide, and this country is no exception. And I think that ultimately we're going to have a period of democratic renewal, and that will require sort of changing the way the security apparatus works and is so unaccountable.
So, you know, I was thinking about the companies you're talking about, and when we come back for a much longer conversation, we'll really delve into this deeply. But, you know, I was thinking about Apple, Microsoft, Google. These all started out as tiny little companies.
They did, of course. I mean, they started off, all of them probably started off with just a couple people, you know, in the bedroom to their apartment or something.
Right.
And then, but what's striking about the Internet, unlike other industries, is that the dominant companies almost all become monopolies, and this is largely due to what economists call network effects, meaning that if you're going to do a search engine or a social media, there's tremendous incentive for all customers to go to the number one, because then you can be in the network with everyone else. Who wants to be in any other social media besides Facebook or do another search? And so it means you not only you don't just have an industry like automobiles where there are four dominant companies. You really tend to just have one.
Right.
And so what happens is that each of these giants has several areas where they're monopolistic online, and then they create empires where they're competing with each other. So they try to become the second best search to Google, or they try to be the second best bookseller to Amazon, e-books. You know, but there are all these enormous empires out there that pretty much dominate the board, and it's going to be very difficult at this point for anyone else to get in.
And I think that it also calls into question, which we can do the next time we meet, is the whole question of how you even control capitalism. If that companies begin this way, but they end up the way they are now, there's something in the very nature of our system that allows this to happen, that somehow we as a people, as a movement, had to figure out how to blunt.
Well, I mean, you know, like in the book I talk about, you know, we're looking at, as I said, 13 of the 31 companies, the largest companies in our economy by market value, are internet companies, almost all with these monopolies. You know, there are only three of the too big to fail banks in one of those 31 firms, by comparison. So when we talk about these companies, we are talking about, you know, the structure, the heart and soul, the DNA, pick your metaphor, of capitalism today. This is our economy. These are the dominant players. So when we talk about the problems with them, we're really talking about a systematic critique of capitalism. It's really unavoidable.
So I then look forward to really continuing this conversation when you come back. We've been talking with Robert McChesney. He is the Gutzel Endowed Professor in the Department of Communications at University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. His book we've been talking about briefly here, Digital Disconnect, How Capitalism is Turning the Internet Against Democracy. He's also co-authored Dollarocracy, How the Money and Media Election Complex is Destroying America, with John Nichols. We'll be talking about next week. And when he returns from his journey, we'll have him back for an hour to talk about his book. Robert McChesney, thank you so much for joining us briefly.
My great pleasure, Mark.
We're going to take a brief break, come back and look at the Farm Bill in our segment on Soundbites. Before we get there, I want to let you, we have new interns this week. We want to welcome them. I'd like to introduce and thank Albert Phillips Jr., Kimani Selden, and Tara Smith for joining us here on staff. We look forward to working with all of them. They're great to help us here at the Mark Steiner Show at WEAA. And, of course, to our thank Lila Warshaw for all the great work she's doing here as a volunteer in this program as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Soundbites. We delve into the Sound Bill with people who are trying to save Urban Farm in Baltimore from being developed as a building and more. Don't go away.